It's episode 75 of Dive In the Podcast. That's right. We've been on 75 weeks, and this week we check in with our hosts.
Dive In the Podcast is a weekly all about diving podcast for everyone. Whether you explore the oceans as a snorkeler, scuba diver, free diver, or tech diver, Dive In has something for you. The show is filled with diving news, feature interviews with guests from around the world, interesting dive topics, and ocean advocacy. Visit diveinpod.com to find out more about the show, past guests, and our Patreon.
Hi everybody, I'm Justin.
I'm Amit.
I'm April, and we're the hosts of Dive In the Podcast.
Before we start today's episode, we'd like to thank you, the listeners. Thanks for tuning in every week. Your support encourages us to keep going and make a bigger and better podcast. So, what'd you guys all think of last week's episode with Tamara May?
Well, I know some people really liked her dive like a ninja philosophy.
I might be biased in that regard and just dying for an opportunity to steal it, but... sadly, she's quick on the draw, and if she is a ninja, I'm likely to wear a shuriken in the face, so I'm going to leave it alone for this week.
Yeah, and she was the quote in Bloodsport with you, so I mean, I know she was scoring points all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she definitely made it up on the high list of Amit's, like, you know, favorite dive people. Quoting Bloodsport, talking ninjas, and understood what it meant to throw a throwing star. I mean, what else do you need, really, a diver?
Nothing, I think.
Yeah, she's covered the bases.
Diving seems secondary at that point.
I think so. Yeah.
Awesome. No, but aside from you know, her general coolness, you know, I found it interesting. We had two guests in a row that were both like had the same. I chatted about this with April. They had the same story. They tried scuba diving. They both just packed in their lives and moved somewhere to go diving. It's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, her and Marissa, what do you say about that, really? I mean, a lot of us talk about this idea of, like, really jumping into our passions, but yeah, they I guess they took it to the whole other level and truly are kind of living their best lives, right? Because I think about it constantly, and the reality of life just prevents it from happening. So I'm so, like, in a good way, envious of the fact that they were able to do that. And it makes for an awesome story.
Absolutely. And it's a great story. Good story for sitting around the old dive boat on the surface interval or around the podcast, I guess. Normally each week we have a feature guest, and this week though we're checking in because it's our 75th anniversary, weekly anniversary of the podcast. And so we're going to chat amongst the hosts and see what's going on. And Nick, unfortunately, not with us this week. He was out at, where is he at? He's out offshore doing some camera work and shooting pictures of seals and drone footage and all kinds of cool stuff. But if you don't follow Nick on his Instagram, you guys are missing out on some cool things. So,
yeah.
You guys ready to dive into this? I guess before we dive into this, we should dive into the news because we got some cool news. I mean, I don't know if it's cool news, but it's kind of funny news.
I mean, I thought it was funny. I definitely thought it was funny, but that's just, yeah, you just throw it out there, Justin. We'll see what the fans really think.
All right. So the headline for this news article is "Sexually Frustrated Sea Snakes Mistake Scuba Divers for Potential Mates."
That's definitely
funny. I even need to tell you anything about this article? Because I think that's enough. A scuba diver off Australia noticed some odd behavior when he came in contact with male sea snakes. The venomous reptiles would coil around his fins, licking the water from around him and even sometimes chasing him underwater. Now he knows why. It was mating season and the males thought he was a potential mate. There is a new study that that actually kind of proves that this is the behavior that we're witnessing. So apparently the males are aroused and active while looking for, the article says, quote, girlfriends. And this is what lead author of the study, Rick Schein, an evolutionary biologist and reptile expert at Macquarie University in Australia, he said, it was exciting. They're the most graceful of animals and also have no evolutionary relationship with people. They're not actually trying to attack you. They're just curious and trying to make a friend.
They might be trying to make
more than
a friend.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. I've got a little bit of an irrational fear of sea snakes. because like I just, you know, I don't really know enough about them to know how safe you are and all that. And I've seen a couple in the Caribbean. I'm like, ah, those are, I'm going to leave those really far alone. I guess also because I'm from the desert where snakes are and can be venomous. So, you know, it's definitely one of those things that I always kind of avoid. And if I was chased by one and it was coiling around my fins, I would probably be a little freaked out.
Yeah, I think, you know, it would throw me for a loop too. And I think ultimately the only thing that I really know about them is the fact that they're generally touted as being highly venomous snakes. And, you know, what worse place to get bitten by a snake than in the water while you're scuba diving? So how long is that going to take for you to get to shore support and then get an anti-venom or something put in there? But aside from the irrational fears of snakes, I did find it funny though that, you know, the behavior is effectively that they're coiling around your fins and licking the water. It didn't really give a huge amount of like explanation as to what this licking of the water was. I'm like, can you lick water if you're immersed in water? I guess you can if you're a snake.
So
maybe it's like they still have the similar ability to, you know, to sense pheromones within the water and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I like that reasoning. Yeah. If anybody wants to read more on this, there's the article, which is linked in our show notes. I recommend going, checking it out and maybe having a chuckle and enjoying it. And, you know, because we definitely enjoyed reading it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a sea snake, but it was like a sea, like centipede or something. Was excited to see me once on a night dive. I posted that video on my Instagram story or on my Instagram account. Do you guys remember that video?
I do.
Remember those little, not little, sometimes what big, like 6 or 8 inches long, some sort of, centipede-like looking sea creature, and they will swim around and they kind of sprinkle the ocean around behind them.
Yeah,
so.
They do.
And they do bite you. It looks like, I feel like I've been bit by them.
Really? No, I was very surprised. I wasn't expecting that to happen. So anyway, this is what this story reminded me of.
Well, this podcast is devolving quickly.
Definitely.
Normally, this is the point in the podcast where we'd say it's time to dive in with our guest, but it's time to dive in with us. And so this is going to be a little bit more of an off-the-cuff conversation. We're going to chat about things. We've got a little bit of news around the dive shop to chat about, and we'll just kind of see what everybody's up to since, like, you know, because we really haven't checked in with the hosts in, you know, well, months and months, maybe a year or more since the last one of us did a host interview. And conveniently, Nick missed this one because he is yet to do a host interview.
Yeah, he keeps ducking us, man. He keeps ducking us for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering what kind of dark skeletons he's got in his closet that he doesn't want aired out on the podcast. So it must be secretly diving to 100 meters and not telling anyone. He's just going to, you know, show up one day at a competition and blow everybody away. I don't know.
True. That's what he's doing when he's not here.
I mean, ultimately, we'll just like fulfill some kind of crazy rumor mill thing going on for Nick, and we'll just make stuff up.
Perfect.
He'll
just be like some good rumors going.
Old Western guy that, like, you know, is out there shooting people from 8 miles away with a pistol.
Perfect. That's what we'll do.
That has no context, actually, but
I was trying to match that up in my head, and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't even meet anything in terms of context. It doesn't matter at this point. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, Amit, when we were out the other day and you were chatting with some of us about, you know, kind of revising your plans for cave training. Last time you checked in, we were talking about going to see Brian K. Cook. You still got any other plans going on, or you think you're going to go do that still? You don't know? Still up in the air? You can be undecided.
I guess it's one of those.
I know I'm throwing you under the bus here.
You're totally. You're backing it up. I can hear the beeping in the background as it rolls back and forth over top of me. But yeah, I mean, like, I guess nothing's changed in the sense of still wanting to go and do that training. But what I guess has kind of changed to a degree is like my ability to facilitate it and make it happen. And, you know, I think in 2020, I initially had talked to Brian about it and had started that discussion. And then 3 rounds of COVID lockdown and 2 years later, I don't really know what the realistic prospects of me are. I guess the realistic prospects of getting to a place like Abaco to go and do that training is. So I don't really have an answer. Yeah. And if I can go there to do it, yeah. like, you know, we've spoken to a pile of other cave instructors right through from, you know, Audrey and Gary Dallas and Christina Zanotto. And then we've just recently had Marissa Eckert on the show. Like, so there's a lot of folks that that we've been in contact with. And, you know, frankly, at this point, I'm trying to figure out, really, is there a way for me to even make parts of that happen by maybe visiting right. some of these other divers who are capable of doing bits and pieces of that course until I can eventually make my way to Abaco, because it doesn't seem as accessible as it was in 2020 for me to make that happen. So, you know, I guess my long and short of it is I've gone from thinking that I had like a really solid plan in mind to being like, I'm just all over the map and I'd like to still make it happen, but how it's going to happen is well beyond me because I don't really have a solid plan anymore. So I feel like everything's kind of collapsed in around me on that one. So I got to rethink. I got to kind of recenter myself and refigure this stuff out, I guess, for lack of better terminology.
Yeah, well, I definitely understand that. I mean, we're talking on a podcast night where I'm supposed to be flying in the morning and my passport still hasn't arrived from the US and so it's a disaster for me. So I understand where you're coming from with the COVID messing things up and, you know, making travel super difficult. So so it might be definitely easier to find some of those, meet up with some of those other folks around and get some parts of that training done. And
And you know, the COVID thing definitely complicates life, right? Because at the end, now they have the discussions surrounding, can you travel if you have mixed COVID vaccinations and things like that? And, you know, so like I'm fortunate in that I just happen to have, just because of sheer luck, the two of the same vaccinations. So there's a chance that I can travel, but you know, they're like, my wife, as an example, has a mixed vaccination. So all of these things usually surrounded some plan where it was going to be combining some family portions of a trip with, you know, the ability to go and do training of this kind. But if there are countries that are saying, well, sure, you can come, but your family can't, it really complicates my ability to travel to a place like that and then just be like, yeah, love you, honey. Have a nice life, but I'll be gone and, you know, see you later. Right. Like, so you got to be realistic about, I think, that as well. And respectful of the fact that, you know, I get to do some of the cool things that I get to do because my partner is really supportive of me doing those cool things. So I can't just turn around as well and be like, up yours, I'm going to do my thing. and don't worry about, like, you know, how she gets a chance to kind of do some R&R too. Right. So, yeah, there's a lot of different layers on that onion, I guess, and I'm not sure how it's going to peel out in the end, but we'll try to. I still want to make it happen. I just don't know how I'm going to make it happen at this point. So, hey, if you got any great ideas, fans out there who have done this type of training, let us know. I'd love to hear some ideas as to how somebody can make some foolishness like this happen, you know, during a COVID pandemic emergence. Can we say that we're there yet?
Yeah, sure. We're mere weeks away from, our, at least locally, our theoretical phase 5 reopening. So, you know, we might be able to go somewhere without a mask for once, which would be kind of weird and scary at the same time.
Super weird.
Last time we chatted, I think you weren't back from Ontario when we did your check-in last, were we? Were you?
No, my host interview was when I was in Ontario. So, I mean, like, my life is very different now than when we all talked.
Well, what's going on? What's happened since you've come back?
Oh, well, that's a loaded question.
have you taken any courses? How are the dive? How's the dive club doing? What's up?
Oh, so much is up. I mean, I am way happier to be back in Nova Scotia and to be diving basically every single day. I think you don't realize how important it is to do what you love and be surrounded by people that you love until you don't have it anymore. So just that piece of it is, I'm way happier to be back and following my passion. I'm back working at the shop. And I am running all the dive clubs and diving like crazy. I've been instructing. I'm about to do my IDC staff in September. And, yeah, it's been a thrill. I don't know where the past like how long have I been back? 6 months, 9 months? I don't know where it's gone. It's been it's been a roller coaster.
Yeah. You recruited a crew of amazing ambassador divers for the dive shop.
I did. So that was kind of crazy because we talked about doing some ambassador divers for Torpedo Rays. And we thought like, oh, maybe we'll do like six of them or something. Because I think we expected to get like 10 applications or something. And then we ended up getting a million applications. So we ended up going with 12. But we decided that we chose ambassador divers at every single level. So people who kind of are just starting and they've only done their open water like this year, but they're really passionate about it and they're ready to kind of like go and they're like, they're jumping in like full force. But then we have them all the way up to people like Dion, who is a cave diver and, you know, probably the best diver in Nova Scotia, arguably. So we selected divers. Oh, sorry, scuba dad.
No, I can't really.
She said arguably. She
put arguably, the- right. No, I can't compete with Dion, honestly. That's a whole other level of diving.
But the ambassador divers have been really cool. So we have 12 of them everywhere from open water to, you know, cave and technical divers. Who I think it's just like it's enhanced the Nova Scotia dive community. And it's just like it's been really cool. And to see them all hanging out together and diving together, it's really important. And I feel like it's been a very like motivating thing for everybody.
So what is this ambassador diver thing for those of us that might not have a clue as to what you mean? What are you getting at when you say you have these ambassador divers that you've recruited and now they're doing awesome things in the dive community? Like kind of what are you guys doing to support them and how are they supporting you back in that kind of mutual relationship?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically we felt like these people make a huge difference in the dive community from like who they are. Like they're very influential. They're good divers. Like they have a good head on their shoulders and we want to support them and make sure that they're able to dive. So, I don't know if I can say their perks, but they get a lot of...
You don't have to say their perks if you don't want to, but they get some perks.
They get like perks, so, you know, some free gear, some free air, like rentals, discounted courses, like that kind of stuff. Because basically we just want to encourage them to dive and to keep diving. And we want to make it as accessible as we can to these people because we just think that they're so important to the community and they make a huge difference. So we just want to make sure that they can keep participating and keeping our community thriving because that's what they're good at. So it's just kind of a big thank you for everything that you do. And yeah.
And it's a bunch of, we got people of all the age groups, but there's a lot of young
people,
really motivated, super like out there several times a week, like just super motivated divers. They're just doing it. And, you know, and obviously part of a ambassador kind of thing. If you take away the word diver, they're like a social media ambassador. So they're, you know, posting pictures on the internet, on Instagram, Facebook, you know,
so
all that
hip,
kind of stuff.
Justin.
I know on the web,
interweb.
put it on the gram anyway. Yeah. So, you know, they're sharing all that stuff and they're, you know, the idea is to help them be able to influence other people like in their age group and people, you know, on social media to see that diving is actually as cool as we know it is. And
we're making scuba cool again is what we're doing.
I mean, admit, I gotta tell this story real quick. When we were out, some of us were out with an old shop buddy the other day.
Who's actually a young guy,
yeah, I mean, he's
sorry to interrupt
from a few years ago. He's a young guy. He now works on the railroads, which is hilarious. Not on the railroads.
He's like a railroad boss around. Now. He's like a legit like a boss
railroad
on
king.
The railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He's a magnate. No, I don't know. Anyway,
he's a big shot.
He's a big boss man.
He's a big shot. He's a big shot.
Big shot. He's a trained big shot and a trained big shot.
Oh,
and he used to dive with us.
Big shot. Sorry.
Yeah. And he used to dive a lot around the shop and help, you know, he worked in the shop anyway for a number of years. Name's Joe. And hi, Joe, if you're listening.
Hi, Joe.
Anyway, we were out chatting and we were doing as divers do. We were sitting on a patio having some beers and we had a server and the server recognized that several of us had Torpedo Race shirts on. And the server was a, younger seeming person. And they asked us like, oh, are you guys with Torpedo Rays? And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. Are you a diver? And they go, oh, no, but my dad is. And I was like, oh, my God. It was exactly what Stephen Whelan said. And I was like, man, this is to a T. You know, this is not something cool. It's something my dad does. And I was like, something's missing here. Like, this person does not know that diving is cool. They might know that it was, you know, something their dad does. But, like, obviously, they haven't felt that connection to say, like, oh, you know, it's something I'm really interested in. Or, like, I'd love to do that. Like, nope. It was just like, oh, that's what my dad does.
Yeah.
And so, hopefully, with a program like the Ambassador Divers, you know, we can reach some of those people and help them understand, you know, and see and actually see how cool diving is and help grow the community.
Yeah. I mean, and I think so far, I mean, we've been doing it for, I think, a little over a month or something now. But it's just been so successful. Like, I mean, I just said to Lauren at work today, I was like, I feel like we're on like a 2-week bender because we were like diving every single day for 2 weeks. We all, you know, we would go out for a drink. We did a karaoke night. So we all just like had a lot of fun. And, you know, I think it's something that young people are into and just like, it's a treat for me too to dive with young people because I'm a young person and typically I'm diving with my scuba dad or, you know, with people my dad's age, which is fine. And there are some great dive buddies. But like this summer, I feel is the first time I've actually gone out on group dives and everybody is like my age. And it's just like, it's really different and it's very fun. And, yeah, it's exciting. And I hope that it continues in the Nova Scotia like dive. Well, I hope it continues everywhere, but in particular to benefit myself, I hope it continues in Nova Scotia. And like, I just feel like the Ambassadors have played a huge role in that of just like creating this awesome community.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Like I weep silently inside as the old guy that like, I can't come to those because I'm just kind of like, oh, it's going to be like creepy old guy out in the corner there. So, but
yeah, don't worry, me and Dion were hanging out.
You could come to a karaoke night if you wanted to, Ambassadiver karaoke.
No. I'm going to pass on the karaoke, but if there was like a dive, maybe I'd come diving, but yeah.
Well,
no, but
in see, truth, this though, is you, the whole point.
That's right.
You well, old guys don't want to come to karaoke.
I mean, that's true. I don't think anybody really needs to listen to me sing at all. It could be just tragic and, you know, hurtful to the tympanic membranes that we try to protect through equalization of the ears and all that other stuff. But, you know, that aside, like, yeah, no, I think you are right, though. Like, you know, when we've spoken to you know, Mark and Steven and stuff in the past that they've mentioned, like, how do we bridge that gap? Well, you got to find innovative ways to make it cool and hip again. And, you know, I mean, I think that's probably taken that step is trying to say, how do we connect with that younger crowd? And well, honestly, the way to connect with them is not to be like, hey, here's like the old scuba crusty dad guy. That's like, I want to just talk about tech diving and, you know, do dives that are like, you know, beyond the reach of a recreational diver. Why does anybody care about that? Certainly, if you want to be developing an interest, that's probably not where most people are, right? They want to still go do the social cool stuff that you're chatting about, and they want to just go for a dive and enjoy diving. And no one wants to hear about like, yeah, but you can't, your gear configuration needs to be like this and your trim and your buoyancy. And then, you know, if you don't have the proper gas calculations, you could have issues. People are just kind of like, hey, I just want to go do something cool, look at some cool stuff, and then go hang out with my buddies, right? Like, so leave all that other stuff aside. And I think that's a fair thing, like, to have in terms of diving and in terms of growing that interest. So yeah, really cool to kind of hear that pop up. And one thing I will say from, you know, from another, I guess, aspect of how I've operated in the past, I was really stoked to see that there was a high, high representation of female ambassador divers. Like as a, you know, as a guy with a, you know, a scuba daughter and an actual daughter that, you know, that I feel like, you know, I've also like worked towards like equity related issues my entire life. And, you know, somewhat in a professional capacity as well. So to be able to see that swing where we, instead of just having a male dominated group of ambassador divers, we actually, I would argue, have the opposite in that they're the majority of the ambassador divers here are female. And I think that's fantastic for the dive industry as well as the local community here. So, I think there's a number of different layers that are on there. And yeah, I guess I'll leave it at that and stop babbling on like an old guy now.
Yeah, I'd add to that too. We didn't stack the deck, you know. No, we weren't trying to be, you know, whatever. But it was representative of the people who applied and the people who were nominated. So that was really nice to see. And then the other thing I wanted to touch on too was one of the side effects of these folks all diving, like Dion being one of the ambassador divers. He's like, hey, you know, if any of you guys want to like, you know, go out and do a dive and work on trim, or you want to work on gear configuration, like we can go do do one of those dives. The joke being that no fun dives with Dion. But most of them were like super interested and like, let's go fine tune some things and, you know, and see how I can make my diving better technically, while also having all those fun experiences.
And like, and they all were like, I want to be a really good diver. Like, I want to set the standard. I want to set the bar. Like, as an ambassador diver, I want people to look at me and be like, oh, wow, like, they're a great diver. I want to be more like them. And I've noticed, like, since we've been going out on all these group dives and the ambassador divers are coming, like, you know, they'll say to me after a dive, like, hey, April, how did my trim look? Like, hey, was that okay? Like, they'll ask me questions like that. And, you know, we practice deploying SMBs and such, like even on our fun dives. Lauren the other day said to me, she's like, you know what? I still have like a little bit of anxiety when it comes to like a fully, like a mask removal and replacement. So from this point on, I'm going to do a mask removal and replacement at the end of every single dive. And I just think we're having a blast, but we're also growing as divers and everybody's like so supportive and we're all diving with each other regardless of what level you are. And I don't know. It's just been, I think it's been a really great thing.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's a good place to take a break. We'll be right back with more from Dive in the Podcast.
This episode of Dive in the Podcast is brought to you by Torpedo Rays Scuba.
You can find them online at torpedorays.com.
They've been teaching Canada how to dive for 25 years and are a proud sponsor of this podcast.
If you're in Atlantic Canada and want to take a course or see the shop, stop in and see us in Dartmouth and check out the huge selection of scuba, apnea, surf gear, and much more.
Dive tours are available for locals and visitors to experience all that our ocean playground has to offer.
TorpedoRays.com has a vast selection of dive gear at unbeatable prices, with free shipping available in Canada and quick shipping throughout North America.
So visit TorpedoRays.com or stop in the shop and you might even see one of us there.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. We've been chatting on episode 75, kind of doing a little bit of a mini catch up with our hosts. And, you know, since Justin decided to throw me right under the bus there, chatting about something I totally wasn't prepared to chat about, I figure, why don't I throw him under the bus? And Justin, I understand there's some career changes going on. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah, I wasn't before tonight. I wasn't really planning on making the big public announcement or anything, but I guess the cat's out of the bag, so to speak. I made the joke the other day, the decathlon is out of the bag. I, because I'm such a father and full of puns.
You need jokes.
Yeah, I need jokes all the time. So I am going to be leaving Torpedo Rays after the treasure hunt, and I'm going to go be the leader of the workshop. The Decathlon doesn't have traditional management names, so the workshop leader over at the Decathlon in Nova Scotia here. It's officially called their flagship location here in Nova Scotia, and they've got this huge workshop where they do all kinds of things, from bike repair, of course, ski repair, skate repair, you know, sharpening, all that kind of stuff, to, you know, repairing almost everything they sell, embroidery, heat press stuff. And it's, I know that sounds a little different from scuba diving, but a lot of it is you know, is kind of along the lines of being a service technician, and a lot of it is management, actually. So less of me doing hands-on stuff and more of me being a manager, which is something I've worked at for the last decade. So it's you know, it's a little bit of a opportunity for me to kind of spread my wings and maybe, you know, challenge myself with some, you know, new and different things, I guess.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, it's one of these ones where, and I think we've kind of chatted about it within the dive in the podcast group a bit, but I think it's a safe bet to say that there's pretty well everybody that walks into the Torpedo Rays shop knows who you are. If they don't know who you are, I'm not sure that they have walked in the shop before. and, you know, but it's going to leave huge gap within that dive community where, you know, I know from the first time that I came in, like, it was basically dealing with you and Jason and Joe were kind of like my three touch points in the shop that got me through that door and changed the relationship, where it was what I would call like a transactional relationship, where a person walks in and it's just like, you know, how can we get them in and out and sell them a thing, to, mm-hmm. well, how do we make this into a relationship where it's kind of like Cheers, right? Where the person comes back just because you have a reason to, like, oh yeah, you know, like those three guys treated me pretty decent when I came in the shop. And I think when I go back, they're going to be hanging out and going to be there to chat with or ask questions. And, you know, I think you are a very big part of building that relationship for probably a huge amount, hundreds and if not thousands of divers over the 10 years that you've been there. So, you know, in my perspective, it's going to be a big loss from the, you know, from the sad eyes part of it. But then, you know, also being like a good friend of yours, I'm looking at it and thinking, you know, it is a thing where sometimes you have to look at, like, what are the opportunities that are present to me, and how do I stretch my wings to what you've said and increase new challenges and sort of introduce new things into your life that's going to be better mm-hmm. off. So, bold move, one that I'm still kind of sad about. And, you know, I'm trying to take a little pressure off of April here, because I know she is going to have a rougher time dealing with it than maybe I might. But yeah, I wish you nothing but the absolute best of luck in what you're doing. And of course, the follow-up question to that is, does this have any implications to the podcast? There's only one answer I'm willing to accept.
The answer is no. No implications to the podcast. All right. We'll still be here every Wednesday. I'll still be here every Wednesday. That's when we record this, because you guys probably aren't listening to this on Wednesday. but, you know, we'll still be keep on keeping on. And we, you know, we just invested in some new mics, so you'll hear the quality of our podcast increasing. And Torpedo Rays is still definitely invested in Dive in the Podcast. I'm personally invested in Dive in the Podcast, as I know you guys are as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... sure, it's sad because I've been there for 10 years. Like, there's feelings and emotion. Like, the owner, Jason, it, I count him among my close friends, you know? So it's really hard. It was really hard to talk to him. And, you know.
I get what you mean. I get what you mean.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, you're part of the family.
It was hard to talk to him and say that I was leaving, you know, or say that I was looking at leaving, and then, you know, ultimately make the decision to move over to Decathlon. You know, but on the plus side at Torpedo Rays, you know, this opens up some headroom for April.
Yeah, so that's
and
that's
April kind of is going is large and in charge around Nova Scotia diving, and, you know, and you are an amazing leader in the dive community. And so I think I, while, you know, it's funny. It's fun to say, you know, big hole to fill, you know, with me leaving. Like, I think April and Jason are completely, completely capable. And April has got a lot of ability, and she's really going to be, you know, can grow into a bigger part of the community and a bigger part of managing Torpedo Rays. And yeah, I think I don't see it as a bad thing. I don't want anyone to think they're listening to something negative, because I think this is actually great for me, and I think it's great for April too. I don't know if you agree with that, April.
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to hold it together.
It's very emotional episode.
It's an emotional episode. It's you know, like, Justin has known me since I was like 12, and you know, in a way, I feel he's the face of Torpedo Rays, and everybody only has good things to say about Justin, and everybody has their Justin story, and it's gonna be funny, like, not having him around. And it's you know, selfishly, it's gonna be hard on me, because I love working with Justin every day, you know, I get to work with my best friend, and to, you know, I'm gonna be sad to look up and not see his face through those computer monitors and take my sneaky Instagram photos of him every day. But I know that this is the best thing for Justin, and I'm so happy for him and so proud of him for doing this. And you know, it's exciting. He's been at the shop for 10 years, and I know that he's always going to be a part of the shop, because I will mm-hmm. force him to always be part of the shop. And you know, he's not getting away. He's you know, he's still going to have to come to the treasure hunt every year, and you know, maybe he can drop by for the occasional burrito Friday. And we're you know, it's a big change, and I do have big shoes to fill, because you know, coming in, it's I don't know, nobody is ever going to replace Justin. He's just you know, one of a kind. So I don't know.
You're the Ike Miller, as it were.
Well, I am capable of fixing printers, so that's a big thing, you know.
You're not bad with an X seal either, I got to say, or wrist seals for that matter, as I've kind of been through the shop and learning the odd thing here or there. So,
I've just done so many necks and wrist seals this week.
How many do you think you've done in 10 years, Justin?
Oh, I don't know. Hundreds and hundreds. It's been a lot. A lot of seals.
Well,
sorry, yeah. I cut you off.
That's all right. It's definitely one of those things where I think, from both of you guys' perspective, it's great to see that there's, you know, there's still that relationship piece that's there, like, that started, you know, April, when you were a kid, and that's still pushing through. And you're referring to Justin, obviously, as, like, you know, your best friend. That's a pretty solid kind of statement, especially when you look at, like you say, like, there's a bit of a generation gap. It's probably not as big as, say, like, you know, between you and Scuba Dad, but it's still a good chunk in between, and kind of speaks to Justin's ability to form those relationships, which I think has, like, been part of his success at Torpedo Rays, and will probably continue to be why he's successful when he moves over to Decathlon as well. But, you know, I guess from my standpoint, where do you guys see, and this is, I guess, a twofold question kind of for both of you, but, like, where do you see Torpedo Rays going now in terms of, like, you know, losing this, we'll call it the iconic Miller, and stepping forward with, you know, with you kind of having to take over more responsibilities, April?
Well, I mean, I don't want to say anything too crazy, because the body isn't even cold yet, but I think it's going to be hard. And I'm prepared for it to be hard. I'm prepared for there to be a lot of late nights and early mornings and weekends, just trying to figure it all out, because it's big shoes to fill. I have a lot to learn, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be intense, but I'm also up for the challenge. And I think that being young and being so involved in the dive community, I just have a million ideas. And I'm excited to be in a position with a little bit more power where I can actually like bring these ideas to life and, you know, just really make a difference and pour a little bit more time and energy into these things, you know, because I have a lot of projects that I try to work on now. Well, I also have a lot of rental gear I got to pack. So there's only so many hours in the day, but I know that in a management position now at the shop, you know, the world is my oyster. Like I have it at my fingertips now and I'm really excited to just fully be present and to be like working really, really hard at this. And I'm sure Justin is going to have a million super annoying texts and calls from me being like, what am I doing? how do I book the pool? And so I know that there's going to be a lot of that. I'm also excited to just say like, Justin, I had this awesome idea. We're going to do this because Justin is not losing me. I've told him this many times. I'm still going to keep him up to date on my life because every day I come in the shop and I go, guess what? And I tell him a story. and he knows everything. So, you know, it's, I'm excited. I'm excited to be in this position. I think that I have a lot of places to go. I think that I can do a lot and I'm really excited. But at the same time, I'm still very, very sad to be losing my my buddy. And it's gonna be a big adjustment. But you know, I don't have him at work, but I'm just gonna randomly show up to his house all the time to drink beer. So it's all there. We go, right.
you know where the patio's at.
Yeah, a little bit of stalking.
Justin, yeah. I just might wanna slip in there, my friend. There's a lot of what I'm hearing there, and for a guy that's transitioned from job to job on occasion, sounds like consultancy retainer might be a thing you might want to look into just to keep things real there. Yeah, just it might be cover off your beer money slash occasional travel back and forth. But I'm hearing a lot of consultancy work still in the future for you. And I think a retainer usually covers that.
Oh yeah, I mean that definitely in discussions with Jason about my retainer and my fees for moving forward for training purposes and consultations and you know my minimum 30-minute fee, you know, just to be fair to me.
$600 an hour.
Yeah. No, and I do expect, you know, to be around the shop a lot, especially starting out, you know, getting everybody trained in the things that I do, you know. I've actually I just have a lot of tasks that I often do, right? And, you know, and so making sure that everybody's capable of doing those things that I was doing, you know, so making sure everybody's trained up, there'll be some, I'm sure I'm going to be over at Torpedo Raise a lot in the kind of transition time afterwards, teaching, you know, people how to do seals or, you know, how to change dry suit seals and how to, you know, how to just do all those random things that are just kind of like not your normal manager tasks probably, but you know, your normal dive shop manager tasks. Yeah. So, and also it's kind of exciting to think, you know, how can I, being a like Decathlon employee, also, you know, kind of like do some stuff with Torpedo Raise, and how can we kind of like work with each other in the future? So, you know, there's tech, you know, if you look at all the products both of us sell, there's a little overlap there, but also there's, you know, there's probably a lot of other fun stuff that can be done too. So it'll be neat trying to figure out how we can do that and how I can, you know, keep my future business tied into my past business.
Yeah, there's a lot of good kind of connections there, and we can definitely do some teaming up, and I think it'll be good. I know change is big and change is scary, and especially when you've been doing something for so long, it's extra scary. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it's a really good thing for everybody, and nobody in this situation loses other than just not getting to hang out with my buddy every day. But it's going to be a good thing for everyone, and I'm excited to see, I guess, like what comes out of it. But yeah, change is scary, but I think it's all going to work out to be a really good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And so certainly now I will say this was kind of one of the impromptu cruxes for this episode 75. When you get right down to it, I don't know that there would be any bigger dive in the podcast episode news for us to be able to share than Justin shifting from one career to another. Although there, you know, there's, like you said, a huge overlap between the two. But you know, we've kind of, I guess, talked about this with other, what we call them, like leaders in the dive journalism community, about like the idea of like, how is it that the community itself sustains itself, and where are the abilities to have like long-term career goals and aspirations within the dive community? And I guess it's a difficult question to address, and I think it's one that is you would find across the entire community, but we've never shied away from that stuff on the show. And one of the things that I had thought about was, just if you look at the discussions that we had with Stephen Whelan about, you know, why do these things occur? Why are we put in a position where you might have to move from the dive community to another, I guess, area of recreational sports that might provide opportunities like you're talking about? What do you think are some of those reasons, Justin?
Well, I mean, there's literally nothing wrong with the job I have now as general manager of Torpedo Rays. You know, I'm extremely happy there. But the opportunities that I have open up to me with a larger company, Decathlon's a 12 billion euro company. Like, it's a giant business. And so they're, and they're expanding in Canada dramatically. So there's a lot more opportunity for me there to kind of like, kind of continue to grow and expand past where I am now. I mean, you know, as we've discussed, and Darcy, I think we'll discuss when we have him on the, Darcy Kieran will have him on the episode in the future too. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of full-time scuba divers, you know, working like in dive shops, you know, if you're not on the management track, it can be extremely challenging to really make any money. And you know, ultimately, you know, life comes down to money to a certain degree. You know, happiness, believe me, I know happiness in your career is a very important thing to me, is why I got out of a better paying career to go into scuba retail. You know, television, I made a little bit more money, and that, but it was also, anyway, happiness. That's right. You know, so, you know, management, like owning a dive shop, it's definitely a lot easier to make money. But also, when you're working for a small business, there's only so many owner spots, and there's only so many, you know, general manager spots. And when you have a business of 10 full-time employees or less, you know, it's somewhat limiting in that respect. So, the reason why ultimately I change, or making this change to Decathlon, is so I have some opportunity to, you know, become a better manager, not a better manager, but become a bigger manager and expand my management opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't put Torpedo Rays down in any way for me leaving to be able to do that. It's like, it's why I'm able to do that. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the past decade with Torpedo Rays, I wouldn't have gotten this job, I don't think. Well, I mean, I'm a super cool guy, but
you are pretty cool, man. You're
they'd cool. be lucky to have me. You know?
they are lucky to have you.
But if it wasn't for the past 10 years I spent working at Torpedo Rays, I definitely would not have gotten this job. I would not have been prepared for the questions and the roles and everything that they are seeking from me. So it was a necessary step for me. Mm-hmm. You know, people looking to get rich in the dive industry, it's a challenge. It's hard. I think COVID has probably done a lot. There's the industries, a lot of the local sports industries are booming right now. So, you know, I think people are probably actually doing a lot better than they were expecting to be doing like this summer or this season, depending on where you are and what level of, you know, COVID issues you're having currently. You know, it's still, you know, it's still a very niche industry, and you mm-hmm. only have, you know, you can only have so much growth unless you start like a big chain of, you know, scuba stores around your country, around your, you know, around your area. It's, you know, there's, that's why people have to, you know, occasionally change things up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I fully wholeheartedly couldn't do that without my career experience at Torpedo Rays. And I, you know, I thank Jason for giving the weird Vegas guy a job when I showed up in Canada when I moved here 10 years ago, saying, God, I hope this scuba shop hires me, because I, you know, I don't have any job prospects out of this, outside of this. And you know, he hired me and you know, took me under his wing, and I've had a really awesome time doing that. So like, if somebody, you know, has the interest in like going into dive shop management, retail management, as long as you have a little bit of thick skin and you can roll with some, you know, punches, because that's how retail is, I think they should go for it, and they should aspire to that and work hard to do that. And I don't think they should skip the dive shop because they have larger career aspirations mm-hmm. in the future. I think it's definitely a great place to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you certainly paint a very positive picture, I think, of like that progression pieces, and obviously the reasons why it's a necessary developmental piece for people to be able to move on and kind of develop those skills so that they're in a position to maybe get those other jobs. But also the piece that you're talking about, which is that, you know, I think what comes through more in what you're saying there, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that there seems to be more of that community family feeling when you get to, you're working with your shops like Torpedo Rays, your local dive shops and that sort of thing. And that obviously mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sitting here and our fans can't see it, but you know, I can see the emotional response between you and April, and I'm looking at April wiping tears away from her eyes, and you know, same with you, like Justin, although I'm sure you're just way too tough and you're only crying like nails or something that's coming out of those tough tear ducts. But you know,
I've been eating raw onions.
Right, raw onions. That's what it is. Yeah. But you know, but it speaks to, I think, a fundamental difference between like a large, potentially a large conglomerate type thing versus like a local mm-hmm. dive shop, where you have that sense of community, that sense of family, and where you're moving to might be more sort of sitting within corporate America, which is where you were kind of used to when mm-hmm. you were doing like the video stuff mm-hmm. and working in production and that sort of thing. So kind of stretching your wings a little bit in both ways. So I don't want to belabor the point, but I do want to say for certain that we, at least, and I think I'm speaking for Nick as well, I think I'd be safe in saying that, like, we're both very happy to see like a progression that's going to allow you the opportunity to have a lot of growth and as well give April the opportunity to kind of flex her wings and show us how well she mm-hmm. flies. And she's done a fantastic job of that, I think. You know, when we think of like her first kind of entry back into scuba when she started up with the Sea Foxes, to her time away, that showed us very clearly that unless she was near the water and in that shop, she's probably not going to be a happy camper. To now, like the you know, like the diving every day and the ambassador divers and all these other ideas that she's got on the back burner, it mm-hmm. looks like we're kind of in store for, you know, for two people doing some pretty awesome stuff. And the biggest benefit to us all in this, you know, from the self-centered side of it, is that I still get to hang out with you guys on Wednesdays and make a wicked podcast. So that's good.
Yeah. Absolutely. So yeah, it's, you know, change, like April said, change is good. And I probably wouldn't have thought about leaving where I was at Torpedo Rays if I didn't have somebody there to step up. So, you know, thanks, April.
Oh, well. Sweet. It's I mean, I always want you to do what you want to do and what's best for you and your family. And again, sad to see you go, but very excited for your new adventures and everything that you accomplish, because you can do great things and you've been a huge asset to us. So it's an exciting change for everybody. And I hope I can be half the manager that that you were.
I was going to make a size difference joke here, but
I guess I am half the manager of it.
definitely. Yeah. So, definitely. Hey, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great next, from now on, it's going to be cool.
Next era.
Next era.
So, there we go. I guess normally we'd kind of wrap up that sort of the segment by asking that question about what keeps you diving, Justin. But I feel in this segment, I have to kind of go on the cheeky side of things and be does this mean you'll start diving again, Justin?
We talked about this. Can I
say that? Am I throwing you under the bus too much by being will you dive again, Justin?
No, it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, one of the deep, dark secrets about when you work in the job that you love is when you get off of that job, sometimes after a number of years, you don't dive as much. And I think we all know, because you guys all give me a hard time, that I don't get out nearly as often as I would like to. And my hopes here is that my plate will clear up a bit because of this, and I'll be in a better position to go diving on my free time and and my new boss, the person who hired me at the, there's a diver as well. So,
very cool.
Well, I'm sure there'll be some peer pressure. And I'm really, really looking forward to getting back in the water more often. Cause I can't be a pretender up here on the podcast. I manage a scuba shop and don't dive as much as the new divers sometimes, but that's just the cold hard facts. I mean, I've got,
10 times dives of
I'm working on close to 2,000 dives, so I've got some experience under my belt. The last few years have been less than I would prefer, but hey, I've got two small kids, I got a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old, and my partner works a lot and hard. And so we like to spend our free time with our kids and, make those memories as much as we can. Although my daughter, Susan, is hardcore wanting to be a free diver. So she's every time we go somewhere swimming, she's like, "Dad, teach me how to be a free diver. Dad, teach me how to be a free diver. What skill am I going to learn?" Last time at the lake, this side story, just because it was fun, I had her doing statics in the lake, and she was having a great time doing that and working on her dynamic wall push offs. So off of the big rocks at the lake, it was good. It's good stuff. She'll be a hell of a free diver in a couple of years.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. And so I guess, April, then that kind of leads into my question, the hard question for you to end this part of the podcast. Yeah. Hearing what you just heard, how are you going to compensate for the fact that soon you won't be diving at all?
Well, I think at least I have the advantage of being a young person who functions off 3 hours of sleep and no strings attached yet, So so I do, I have my time, and my time is mine, and I get to do what I wish with my time. But I definitely see the dive shop owners and dive shop managers, not diving as much, because it, when you do it all day, it's hard to do it for fun too. So at this time, I mean, I think I'm obsessed enough to maintain it. And I also just think right now, the people that I'm surrounded with motivate me to dive like a maniac. So, when everybody is like, "April, we're all going diving after work. You're coming." And I'm like, "Oh, I slept 4 hours last night. And, I'll come. So, although there's long hours and many days, at this point in my life, I'm young. I want to go have a good time with my friends and my ambassador divers, and I'll pull it together. I figure out a way to get in the water. And two, there's so much that I want to do. Like maybe once you feel like you've done it all, you feel differently. But I'm like, oh, well, I want to master this skill and I want to take this course and I want to go do this trip. And in order to do this trip, I want to be like the best of the best at this. So I got to train really hard so that I can go do this. So I definitely still have a lot of motivation and a lot of just like my personality type. And I mean, I'm come from a background of like very competitive sports. So when I do something, I want to be the best and I want to just absolutely kill it. So I there's no half ass when it comes to it. So I think as a full ass everything, no half ass anything.
You're going to double down on all of it.
So, you know, I think too, as a dive shop manager, which feels crazy to say that that's going to be my title soon, it's just like, if I'm a dive shop manager, Frank, I better know my shit. Like, I better be able to give the best advice. I better be able to, like, you know, relate to everybody. So I've really got to, like, I've got a lot of fucking work to do. Like, I've got to figure it out. So I have a lot of diving to do, Amit. So I guess okay. For the next, you know, fair probably enough. Decade, I've got a lot of training to do.
Right. Okay. So you got, I guess if I were to summarize that, it sounds like you've got to be your best self, but if you can, just be Justin.
Well, exactly. Yes, I need to
it's kind of like the Batman thing,
more
right?
like Justin, exactly.
Be yourself unless you can be Batman, then be Batman.
Unless you can be Batman.
Then be yourself exactly. Unless you're Justin, in which case you can just be Justin. So.
Well, and I said to Dion and Krista last night when I was talking to them, I was like, Dion, we got a lot of work to do this winter. Like, as soon as stuff slows down, me and you, we're training like every single day. We're doing drills. Like, we got a lot of work. And he's like, yeah, I know. So, so you know, I think diving this winter will not be a problem.
That's awesome. Okay. Can't wait to... Yeah, join you guys for some drills.
I'm excited to dive with Justin again. It's like what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to thank you, Amit, and I thank you, April, for coming on and chatting with me on this, our 75th episode. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of emotions flying through on this one, more so than I expected. And, you know, like I say, Justin, I just show up and I talk to people, buddy.
Yep. Thanks for having me on this episode. Episode 75. Hard to believe we're making our way through. Amit said we're a quarter short of a dollar, and
that's right.
It's been an awesome episode. It was fun to just actually sit down and talk to you guys, and I look forward to many, many, many more episodes.
Absolutely.
With my scuba dad and my scuba best friend.
All right. And Nick Winkler, whenever we can get him to stop doing
and
work.
And we get a nail down Nick Winkler.
Friggin' Nick. Yeah. Where is he? Has anyone seen
that guy? Man about town.
I think I saw there was a stranded boat thing going on. Maybe he's stranded somewhere because the tide went out and they didn't put the boat in the right place. I don't know. There's a lot of things happening there. But
Nicholas Winkler pictures I've seen recently was him towing a boat behind his truck that wasn't his boat.
Yeah.
Was his drone on a box? A seal with a shark bite.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably, a shark bite.
Seagrass pitcher with under surveys.
Oh yeah, Owl's Head. Place of controversy because that's being sold to a developer for a golf course without enough public discourse is what a lot of people are saying. So look into that if you're local in Nova Scotia. And so Nick. Buddy, we miss you. We haven't been. I think we've lived like three episodes in a row. Yeah. Brutal. All right. Well, before we draw this out any farther, we should close up the episode. Don't forget, you can support this podcast at patreon.com/diveinpod and get some fun rewards for doing so. Visit our website at diveinpod.com for all the links you need, episodes, merch, and so much more. You can follow me at iDiveOK.
I'm at April Weichert, and Nick is at Nicholas Winkler Photography.
Next week, we speak to Leanne and David Lee of Lady Godiva Dive Shop in Jamaica.
This episode of Dive in the Podcast was brought to you by our sponsor, Torpedo Ray Scuba.
You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or at podchaser.com. Reviews are one of the best ways to help others find the podcast.
Thanks for listening.
You guys did it at the same time. That's awesome.
That was a long episode, man.
That was a long episode. Thanks for listening. If you're still here, go to bed. But I think it was good.